Chapter 3. The People of the Drama.
The bicycle was hidden behind some bushes. "Well, it's something," said Mason. "But why has the man left it behind? How did he get away without it? We are no closer to solving this mystery, Holmes."
"Aren't we?"
answered Holmes thoughtfully. We moved to the dining room to hear evidence from the people who were in the house at the time of the murder. Ames, the butler, told us what he had heard and seen. He had not heard the shot because he was at the back of the house in the kitchen. He heard the ringing of the bell which called for the servants of the house. He and the housekeeper went to the front of the house together. When they got to the bottom of the stairs, Mrs. Douglas was coming down. She was not hurrying, and she did not seem agitated. Then Mr. Barker came rushing out of the study, telling Mrs. Douglas to go back.
"Go back to your room. John is dead. There's nothing you can do. Please go back to your room."
Mrs. Douglas did as he said. She did not scream. The housekeeper went with her. Barker and the butler went into the study, where they found everything just as the police had seen it. The candle was not lit at that time, but the lamp was. They looked out of the window, but it was very dark, and they had seen and heard nothing. The housekeeper said that Mrs. Douglas had been scared, but had not tried to go downstairs. The housekeeper stayed with her that night. Cecil Barker was next. He told the police his theory about the murder. There were some events in Douglas's life that he never spoke about. Barker had met Douglas, who was a widower at the time, in California. They ran a successful mining company together. Douglas had suddenly sold his share and gone to England. Afterwards, Barker also sold his share and went to England, where he and John Douglas met again. Barker thought that Douglas was in some danger. He thought that a secret society was after John and wanted to kill him. "How long were you together in California?" asked MacDonald.
5 years altogether,"
said Barker. "And he was a widower, you said. Do you know where his first wife was from?" he asked.
"No, but I saw a picture of her. She was a very beautiful woman. She died the year before I met him."
"Was there anything strange about him in California?"
"Only that he didn't like to be near other men. That's why I thought someone was after him. I think he had a warning of some sort. That's why he left so suddenly for Europe. Only a few days after he left, some men were asking about him,"
said Barker. "That was 6 years ago. Before that, you were together for 5 years in California. 11 years is a long time to keep a fight going. It was definitely something serious. Did you know Mrs. Douglas before the marriage?"
"No, I didn't."
"But you've seen a lot of her since."
"What are you saying, Detective? I've seen a lot of him since, and so of course I have become friends with Mrs. Douglas."
"Was Mr. Douglas happy about your friendship with his wife?"
"You have no right to ask such questions,"
said Barker angrily. The inspector waited.
"Well, I suppose you have to do your job. Please don't ask Mrs. Douglas about this. She is worried enough. Douglas had just one fault, and that was his jealousy. But no man had a more loving and faithful wife, or a more loyal friend."
"But the fact that the wedding ring has gone suggests that the marriage and the murder are connected, don't you think?"
"I don't know what it suggests,"
said Barker.
"But I think you're on the wrong track."
The next witness was Mrs. Douglas. She was a tall, beautiful woman of 30. Her face was very white, but she seemed calm.
"Have you found anything out yet?"
she asked. "We're doing all we can, Mrs. Douglas. Perhaps you may be able to help us. Mr. Barker said that you were never actually in the room where the tragedy took place."
"That's right. He told me to go back to my room."
"You have only known your husband in England. Is that right?"
"Yes. We've been married for 5 years."
"Have you heard him speak of something that happened in America which may be dangerous for him?" Mrs. Douglas thought carefully before answering.
"Yes,"
she said finally.
I have always felt that there was some sort of danger from his past, but he didn't talk to me about it.
How did you know then? Asked the detective.
In many ways,
she replied.
Because of the way he didn't talk about some parts of his life in America. Because of some of the things he said. The way he looked at strangers. I always felt sure that he had some powerful enemies and that he was always ready to defend himself.
What sort of things did he say?
Asked Sherlock Holmes.
The Valley of Fear,
replied Mrs. Douglas.
He said, I have been in the Valley of Fear and I'm not out of it yet. I asked him, can we ever get out of the Valley of Fear? And he said very seriously, sometimes I don't think we ever will.
But didn't you ask him what he meant by the Valley of Fear?
Of course, but he never told me. All I know is that it was a real valley that he lived in once where something terrible happened. I can't tell you any more.
Did he ever mention any names?
Yes, once when he had a fever. He said the name Master McGinty. There was definitely a connection between the Valley of Fear and Master McGinty.
You've heard that his wedding ring was taken. Why do you think that is?
I really don't know,
she replied.
It's an extraordinary thing.
Well, we won't keep you any longer. Thank you for your time, Mrs. Douglas. If there is anything else, we can ask you later. Mrs. Douglas left the room. She's a very beautiful woman, said MacDonald thoughtfully. This man Barker has been here a lot. There may be something between them. He admits that the dead man was jealous. Then there's that wedding ring. What do you think, Mr. Holmes?